We have here the words of the Apostle Paul under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the church located in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Among the major truths repeatedly recorded in the Bible is the overwhelming truth that men cannot obtain peace with God through his own merit or his own works. Yet one of the greatest misunderstandings among the religious world and in the church today is the misunderstanding that mankind can get to heaven by striving to be good and or do good. In my years of speaking with others about salvation, I am surprised at the number of individuals professing to be Christians who are actually trusting their works as the basis of God's accepting of them. Seeing the great emphasis placed on this particular subject in the Bible and hearing of the doctrinal misunderstandings that is being received among those that I speak to often, I'm moved to speak to you this morning about the foolishness of trusting in our works as a way toward obtaining salvation. I would like to preach the truth of God's word using the argument of supposition. If we supposed that the forgiveness of sins and the radical transformation of the soul could be obtained by our works, it would mean then that certain biblical truths that we uphold would no longer be accurate. Let me begin by giving you my first suppositional argument. I've titled this message, If Salvation Were of Works. We know that it is not, but if salvation were of works, what would it mean? Well, first, if salvation were of works, number one, the Bible would be inconsistent. If salvation were of works, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, our text for this morning, is untrue. The Apostle Paul is a liar of the worst sort. He must be marked as a divisive, heretical teacher and a deceiver of souls. If salvation were of works, the Apostle Paul is spreading doctrinal poison into the Ephesian church. Tracing Paul's writings throughout the New Testament, we will find that he is consistently teaching that salvation is not of works, but of grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if salvation were of works, here lies the inconsistency of the Apostle Paul. Recall with me those passages where Paul denounces salvation by works and upholds salvation by grace through Christ alone. To the church in Rome, Paul declared, man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. To the church in Galatia, Paul states the same truth, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul taught Timothy, it is God who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Paul taught Titus that salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Was the Apostle Paul a messenger of fiction? Did he preach that which was contrary to God? Those who claim that salvation is of works must answer yes to both questions. They must say that he is a messenger of fiction and that he is a preacher of that which is contrary to God. Those who believe salvation to be by works must never hold the apostle as the hero of the faith. They must never quote him to uphold a single argument that he gives. If Paul is a liar regarding the eternal truths of salvation, he must be passionately rejected without question. But if salvation were of works, we have a greater problem than Paul. If salvation were of works, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 is untrue, not only is the Apostle Paul an evil liar, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is an evil liar. For the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we read here in Ephesians chapter 2 is not Paul's will, it is God's will. That which Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, that salvation is by grace and not of works, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that supernaturally moved Paul to write God's word. And if salvation is of works, God is a liar. If Paul's words were directly influenced by the will of God, God is to be charged with being inconsistent. If salvation were of works, and the Bible says that salvation is not of works, God is a communicator of confusion, and the Bible is full of contradictions. And to believe in such a way erases the holy attributes of God that many speak about. If salvation were of works, but God's word says differently that it is not of works, it would make God a liar. And can one really conclude that God being a liar is faithful, good, honest, loving, never changing, without sin, and trustworthy? If salvation were of works, I would need to request of everyone who believes in the doctrine of working one's way to heaven to be consistent with their beliefs and call both the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit a liar. And who's willing to do that this morning? I would need to call on all who believe that they can birth themselves into the kingdom of God to be consistent with their beliefs and to quit reading and quoting the Bible, because the Bible then would be a book of errors. Unless I confuse those who are not used to the technique of hypothetical reasoning, let me be clear before we move on to our second point that neither God nor the Bible is inconsistent. Those who know the truth of Scripture and have been changed by the truth of God know that this is absolutely true, that God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God is pure and true. It is faithful and just. It contains no error, because God is pure and just and true, and in God is light and in God is no sin. And Paul is not a liar when he says all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Paul is thus telling us the truth when he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Holy Spirit of God breathed out scripture after scripture, clearly stating that salvation is completely and totally by the grace of God. Salvation is not of works, meaning the Bible is consistent with the nature of God, and the Bible is consistent with its own writings. If you will continue to humor me a little and continue supposing, I want to bring another argument to the table. If salvation were of works, it would mean first and foremost that the Bible is inconsistent. And if salvation were of works, it would then mean that Christ died in vain. If salvation were of works, then Christ's death was unnecessary. Why does sinful man need a Savior if man by his own works can be his own Savior? Why did it please God the Father to crush his Son on the cross? Why did Jesus leave the glories of heaven, live among sinful men, tell others that he is God and the way to God, and die such a cruel death when mankind already had the power to work his way to God? The Apostle Paul uses this same line of reasoning in his letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." There were those that Paul was ministering to who believed that man can become righteous in the sight of God by striving to obey the commands of the Lord. And there were those who believed that if they obeyed the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," that their soul would be safe from God's judgment. There were those who believed that if they obeyed the commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," that their obedience to God's law would be the pathway to God. Paul says, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, why did Christ need to die on a cross if our obedience could make us right with God in the first place? What Paul is doing here is he is reminding his readers of why Christ came and died. Paul wants us to recall why Christ came to die in the first place. And the answer to that is, Christ came because humanity was spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. The entire world was at enmity with God, doing the will of Satan. Every individual possessed a sin nature that needed to be transformed. And sinful man could not make this transformation happen by his own works. Sinful man could not wash away his own sins and make himself new by his own works. A man needed a perfect, sinless Savior who alone has the power to grant eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. The world needed a just man to die for the unjust. Individuals needed a sufficient payment to God for their rebellion against him. The payment is not more works tainted with impure motives and selfish ambitions. The sufficient payment was Christ, who knew no sin, becoming sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ can do what mankind cannot do. Christ has done what mankind will never be able to do. Christ satisfies the wrath of God for those who believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. And this, the message of the gospel, is the only way to be at peace with God. To say that we can work our way to heaven is to say that we can satisfy the wrath of God ourselves. It is to say that the gospel is a nice idea, but it is not absolutely necessary for salvation. To believe that salvation is of works, one must conclude that Christ's entire ministry on earth was vain. His teaching was worthless, and his death, burial, and resurrection is insufficient to save. And who is willing to say that this morning? To say that salvation can be accomplished by our own merits or our works is to spit on the cross and those Bible passages which speak of the power of the cross. I'm here this morning to tell you the truth of Scripture. That the gospel, the message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Without the shedding of Christ's blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." If salvation were of works, all this would be untrue. Salvation is not of works, and therefore it is true. And then we have a third point. If salvation were of works, Christ's death is in vain. If salvation were of works, the Bible is inconsistent. If salvation were of works, mankind could boast. If salvation were of works, then man would have every reason to boast of making himself acceptable before God. Man could pat himself on the back for being good and doing good and obtaining heaven in his own power. And some ignorantly do boast of such things. Believing themselves to be good and worthy of heaven, they say such things as, quote, I'm a kind individual. I have always been a hard-working citizen. I have been baptized. I have attended church my entire life. I have served in a ministry of the church. I read my Bible and pray every day. I strive to keep the Ten Commandments. I've never hurt my body with drugs. I have always been faithful to my spouse. I give money to the poor. I do nice things for my neighbors. And on and on and on. And those who trust in their works are those who boast in their works. When you ask them why God should allow them into heaven. There are people holding on to these arguments who are in church every single Sunday. There are those who profess to be born again who hold tightly to these things that they have done as worthy before God in a saving sense. But if salvation were of works, we would boast. Paul says in our text specifically, salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And again, we must conclude that if salvation were of works, then God and Paul would be a liar, because man wouldn't have reason to boast. And interesting enough, it's the Apostle Paul who writes this. The Apostle Paul, before he became a true Christian, through the miraculous transformation of the Holy Spirit, was one who used to boast of his good works. Paul thought that he had all the external credentials of being a true believer. Do you remember his words to the Philippian church? Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The Apostle Paul, as a true Christian, says salvation is not of works, and he's speaking as one who went through the experience of boasting in his works before God and others. Paul, writing Ephesians 2:8-9, as a true Christian, knows that his own righteous works only distance himself farther from God. This is why in his masterpiece on salvation, the book of Romans, Paul says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There were Jews, adherents to the law of Moses, who thought that Abraham was made right because Abraham obeyed God. But Abraham was not made right because of Abraham's obedience. Abraham was made right with God because Abraham believed in the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be sacrificed for his sin. And out of that belief, then came his obedience. It was not his obedience that saved. His obedience was only a fruit that he believed in Christ and was saved. He is not justified by works. If he was, he would have reason to boast and glory, but such glorying would not be accepted before God. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells the church, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You recall his testimony walking on the road to Damascus. He was not seeking after God. God was seeking after him. He thought he was doing God's work, persecuting the true church. He thought he was adhering to the law of Moses, working his way to heaven. And God had to wake him up spiritually and show him the resurrected Christ that he was sinning against and the true way of salvation, the way of grace, the way of faith in Jesus Christ. And so he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I have no reason to boast. I cannot boast He says, if I am to boast, I'm to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And this is the herald of all true Christians. We do not say, by our works, we are what we are. By our church membership, we are what we are. By our giving financially, we are but what we are. No, we say, by the grace, by the saving grace of God, we are what we are. And then I have another argument. If salvation were of works, how would we know the standard? What kind of works would be sufficient to please God? Would it be mission trips around the world? Joining a specific church? Visiting the confessional booth frequently? Being baptized by immersion or by sprinkling? Reading our Bible a certain amount of times? Being nice to one another? What kind of works would be sufficient? And then, how many works would be sufficient? How many times would we need to be nice? How many times would we need to read our Bible? How many visits to the confessional booth is required? How many services to church would be sufficient? How many of the Ten Commandments would need to be kept? The truth is, there is no standard of works in the Word of God because man cannot work his way to God. The great problem with those trusting in their works is that they have replaced God's standard, the Bible, with their own standard, that is to say, their opinion. And this is so true, and you see the deceitfulness of man's heart in this. And I can tell you many evangelistic conversations that I have had in recent days in which others have said, I know that I have done wrong before God, but I believe that God would accept me. I am not perfect, I know that, but I believe God knows the sincerity of my heart. I think the Ten Commandments are the stepping stones to heaven. I cannot believe that God would send me to hell when I have tried to live moral. I believe that my baptism was sufficient to wash away my sin. I believe my time serving in the church was not wasted. And to the demise of their own spiritual standing before God, such people with such arguments who begin to trust in what they think rather than what God says leads to their eternal ruin. And it should be our desire to have the truth of Scripture correct what we think. Many people are on the pathway to hell because they think about what God accepts rather than reading what God has said. Rather than saying, well, I think, I believe, I feel, I cannot imagine, we should ask, what saith the Scripture? And this was the response of the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 4, verse 2. The same passage I just quoted. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And then Abraham says this, for what saith the Scripture? Even the Apostle Paul, a messenger of God writing the Scripture, has to bow to the authority of Scripture to get truth about what salvation is. What saith the Scripture? He's quoting the Old Testament law. Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Yes, we are firm on salvation by grace through faith, not because we think it or the church has commanded it to be, but because God has instituted it. This is what the Scripture says. And when the Scripture speaks, God speaks. And let me come to a conclusion by stating two supplementary truths that relate with our topic. The first is this. And this is a confusion. Okay, some say, okay, I get it. Salvation is not of works completely, but I believe salvation is by faith and works. Let me tell you, salvation is not by faith and works. It is not our belief in Christ and our good works. We can add nothing to what was accomplished on Calvary's cross. To do so, again, would mean that Christ's work on the cross was not sufficient. it would mean that it was 99% Jesus and 1% us. But remember the cry of Christ on the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." What was finished? The work of redemption. His bearing the guilt of the world as a satisfaction of God. It is finished. No work needs to be added to it. No work taken away. Justification by faith alone in Christ alone. This is what Paul preached. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not faith and works, but faith. Jesus spoke the way of salvation to Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 16. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's nothing said of works. Oh, but what about James? Well, James is giving the argument that the true faith that has been converted is a faith that works. He is not stating a contradictory statement to the rest of Scripture. James is showing the fruit of the believer. James says that faith that truly has been transformed is that faith which is active. It is not a hearer only of God's word. It is a doer of God's word. So salvation is not by faith and works. And then get this, believing is not a work done by man. Some people would hold on to that. Well, our work is our belief. What shall I do to work my way to heaven? You cannot. Well, what about my belief? Isn't that a work? No. Go to our text. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What's the end that? Well, salvation obviously is the whole token, but if we reach back to the last word, faith is not of ourselves. Faith is the gift of God. Yes, even believing faith. And let me give you an illustration. If I were to set before you the works of all the cults of this world, and then the Word of God, how would you know that the Word of God is different than all of the man-written works of all the other cults? How would you know that what I am telling you is true? You know that it is true because God has worked faith in your heart. Faith is a gift. Some struggle with this and they say, well, how can I come to Christ? I feel like I've tried and I've tried and I've sinned and I've sinned and I've sinned. I tell the one struggling to ask God for faith. Faith to believe. Faith is a supernatural gift from God. Professing believers say, well, I believe, therefore I'm saved. And this is true, and this is the way of salvation. But we must not dismiss the vital reality that man believes because of the inward working of the Spirit convicting and convincing. And so we ask, not only have you believed, but have you been born again? Has God made you to become a new creation? Is there undeniable evidence in your life that you love God and delight to keep His commandments? So it is more than just believe. The devils believe and tremble. Well, I believe. Well, guess what? Satan believes in the blood of Christ. So we bow to the supernatural workings of the Spirit, God birthing individuals into His kingdom. Salvation is not man's work for God. Salvation is God's work in man. Salvation is not a reward for the righteous. It is a gift for the guilty. One of the strongest biblical illustrations against salvation by works is found in Luke 23, 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. In this passage, we read of eternal life being freely given to the thief crucified next to Jesus without the performance of one single work. The thief could not be taken off the cross. The thief was not taken to a church and baptized. The thief did not attend the religious worship service. The thief did not give any money to the local synagogue. And yet Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How was this so? Well, the thief understood that he was a guilty sinner deserving of God's justice. The thief understood that Jesus Christ was the innocent Lord over all. The thief cried out for God to have mercy on his soul by saying, God, remember me. And Christ gave him the assurance that his soul would know everlasting peace. We could then say that the thief knew the words of Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 to be true. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How about you today? Do you know them to be true, these words, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? Have you abandoned all hope of trying to save yourself? You will find nothing but frustration in trying to work your way to heaven. Have you cast yourself completely on Christ's mercy and grace and power to save your sinful soul? If not, do so now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to believe and repent of your sin. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Our concluding hymn this morning is hymn 129, Rock of Ages. I'd like to read the second stanza if I could. As I read this, I want you to see the truth of salvation brought out here in this song. The author writes, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sin could not atone. My tears cannot atone. My zeal, even for God, cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. If you are in need of salvation this morning, make that your prayer. Nothing in my hands, O Lord. I only come to you with my sinfulness, acknowledging that I cannot work myself to you, but Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, loved me and died for me. And I want this gift of faith. I want this gift of salvation so that I might know the peace of God which passes all understanding.